Hey, you want that to go?
Our first news takeout this morning is an obituary and also a discussion of a coming changing of the guard in the Congress, the House, and the Senate. Congressman John P. Murtha from the 12th District of Pennsylvania died yesterday at the age of 77 after suffering complications from gallbladder surgery. He made headlines shortly after the onset of the Iraq War, really in the mid-2000s, when he called for the war to end, that the future of our country cannot sustain the Iraq War, and he spoke publicly about it.
Our military is suffering. The future of our country is at risk. We cannot continue on the present course. It is evident that continued military action in Iraq is not in the best interest of the United States of America.
John Murtha, who died in complications from a gallbladder surgery yesterday. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick has covered Congressman Murtha for all the time you've been on Capitol Hill. Here was somebody from the Vietnam generation who had a long rise and then a difficult sort of end game.
Yeah, that's right, John. Jack Murtha, a 19-term congressman and former Marine colonel, and one of the old guard of the Vietnam era, as you mentioned. There are still plenty of Vietnam vets left in Congress, but Murtha was one of the most influential. I want to paint a picture for you quickly of the House chamber, just to give you a sense of how Murtha operated. He was famous for it around Congress. There's no assigned seating in the House of Representatives. Members sit wherever they want. But in the back corner, in the back row on the right-hand side, there's a little area that's informally known as the Pennsylvania Corner. Huh. And that's where members from Pennsylvania go to chat. It's just an informal place. And this area is known because Jack Murtha was always found there. If you wanted to find Jack Murtha during any given vote, you look in the back row in the corner, and there was Murtha holding court. Members gathered around him, sometimes passing notes, coming for advice, coming for discussions from both sides of the aisle. And they did it for a couple of reasons. One, 19 terms. The guy knew where the bones were buried. He was a very senior member. But also, as a senior appropriator, he controlled all of the spending at the Defense Department, not to mention all the thousands and thousands of earmarks. And that's how Jack Murtha did business. He controlled so much of the pet money that members needed to bring back to those bases in their districts. And they came to see Murtha because, as everyone knew in Congress, Jack Murtha gaveth and Jack Murtha tooketh away. Everyone knew it, and that's why they came to see him in the Pennsylvania corner.
But ironically, it was Murtha's proximity to that Pentagon largesse that was in some sense his undoing. He could have been majority leader, but it didn't make it.
He came very close. When Nancy Pelosi reached the speakership after being House Minority Leader for so many years, she backed Jack Murtha to be Majority Leader. He lost. And you're right, John. Part of the reason he did was his proximity to earmarking some scandals that have affected a lot of lobbying firms. Now, we have to stress that Jack Murtha was never convicted of any crimes or even charged. I got to take you back to the Belushi era of Saturday Night Live, almost 1980, the ab scam, FBI sting.
Well.
Yeah, where several members of Congress took bribe money from who they thought was a corrupt Arab sheik, a Saudi sheik. Turns out it was an FBI informant in a beard. Jack Murtha never took a bribe, but he was in the room, and he was never charged, but he was implicated.
You know, it occurred to me yesterday that this Vietnam generation in the House and the Senate, it has an interesting legacy. I mean, you've got Murtha, you've got Kerry, a combat veteran, John Kerry, Bob Kerry, combat veteran.
Right.
You got John McCain, combat veteran.
Right.
But both Kerry and McCain also ran for the president. Ironically, the draft dodgers, Clinton and George W. Bush, who was in the National Guard, got it to the White House. The combat veterans didn't make it. Cheney got 5 deferments and made it to be one of the most powerful vice presidents in U.S. history. What is the legacy here?
Well, look at Randy Duke Cunningham, a famous Vietnam ace pilot, powerful member of Congress who went to jail for corruption just a couple of years ago. It's an interesting way to look at it, John. Jack Murtha, again, a Marine colonel. He was the first Vietnam veteran elected to Congress, and some of the Iraq veterans and newer veterans who are getting elected now look to him as a mentor, people like Patrick Murphy of Pennsylvania, who is an Iraq veteran. You're right that a lot of the combat veterans never made it to the very top. Murtha himself, as he said, almost reached majority leader, but not quite, but he wielded enormous power in the House. He wielded the kind of power you don't see, the behind-the-scenes money power.
And McCain still does, we should say. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, talking about a coming changing of the guard there with the passing of John Murtha.
And now to our sports takeout with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. The Super Bowl is over, and we're moving on to the 2010 Olympic Games. And we have a profile today of someone who, if nothing else, he sparks discussion around his sport. That's pro figure skater Johnny Weir. career. Ibrahim, Johnny Weir is known for his outlandish costumes. Not only that, but what he says, he's kind of outspoken in what he says. That's how he's become sort of a focus of media attention.
Well, just to get a sense of who Johnny Weir is, he's the ultimate commander on the ice and in defending his sport. Listen to what he had to say to ESPN's Jim Capel.
That's why people don't necessarily think it's a real sport, is because it looks easy. We're not out there tackling or being tackled or checked or running excessively. It looks effortless and beautiful and graceful and all these things. But, you know, I would challenge any football player or baseball player, well, especially baseball players. I mean, how you can be 300 pounds and play a sport and get paid millions of dollars to do it, I'll never know.
So Johnny Weir is a three-time national champion, and he's a former world bronze medalist. But he hasn't won gold at the Olympics, and that's what this Olympics is about for Johnny Weir, to prove that.
Well, he missed his bus, famously, didn't he? When he was supposed to skate, he went out to go catch the bus, and the bus schedule had changed, and he didn't know it, and he didn't make it on time.
And for those moments, he gets an incredible amount of attention. In 2007, the movie Blades of Glory was built around his life.
That's right.
He's got a show on the Sundance.
Not flattering.
Yeah. And he's got a show on the Sundance Channel. But I think what's important about him is that he challenges the gender binary. He kind of pushes the boundaries. You don't really know which way he's coming from, but you have to acknowledge that he's an incredibly gifted athlete.
At the
age of 12, he did an axel on his first week on skates, and his coach is like, "How did you learn how to do that?" And he said, "I just watched it on TV." So if anything about Johnny Weir is that he is incredibly gifted, and he is definitely a person to watch.
And he is a fierce competitor,
indeed,
as you said. Thanks so much, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, we're going to be talking about what the president wants to do to get some agreement on health care.